Greetings. Greetings, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. And this is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, October the 9th, 2011. This is the Mind of God program. And on this program, the Mind of God program, we endeavor to climb up out of the mind and mentality of the wicked ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order. We want to cease thinking in the way of warfare and bloodshed. We want to cease thinking in the way of colonialism, slavery, exploitation. We want to cease thinking like the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. And we want to cease thinking in the way of the synagogue of Satan. As we endeavor to do so, we climb up into the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the mind of Allah, the mind of Jehovah, the mind of Namaste, the mind of the Most High Father and the Most High Mother. And as we do so, we will find that all of those barriers that separate the oppressed from the oppressed, barriers of race, class, ethnicity, gender, religion, philosophy, ideology, denomination, national origin, regional differences, all of those boundaries will be broken and torn down as we remember that we are the oppressed no matter where we find ourselves. And we must get up, stand up together and fight the oppressor with the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. As we do this, we will find ourselves organizing together, coming together for freedom, justice, equality, the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. We are ready, willing, and able to ally ourselves with any and all political, revolutionary, and religious organizations and institutions that are of like mind. My beautiful sister Venice, she is my fabulous helper. My wonderful sister, fabulous helper, engineer, facilitator, coordinator, helper in this website. And I give thanks and praises unto my beautiful sister for her help with this website and this Mind of God program. I pray that the Most High continues to bless her children, bless her family. You may contact me by emailing yahlove@comcast.net. yahlove@comcast.net. Now, as African people, houses for the spirit and soul of the Almighty, no matter your color, race, ethnicity, etc., let us now, as African people, give praises unto the Most High Creator and the Most High Creatress. We give thanks and praises to the Almighty Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, the word Father is Ab, also known as Abba, Abba Father. You put that together with Yahweh, you get Yahweh Ab or Yahweh Abba. In the African Arabic language, the Almighty Father is known as Allah, spelled A-L-L-A-H. In Egypt, the Almighty Father is known as Amen, the hidden and unseen Father. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, the Father is known as the Great and the Grandfather. We also pause to give thanks and praises to our wonderful, precious, beautiful Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. She, Mother Holy Spirit, is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word wisdom in the Hebrew, African Hebrew language, is chokmah. You may find it in your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary on the Hebrew side. That word chokmah is a feminine word referring to a feminine entity, in this case, our Mother Holy Spirit with the title of wisdom. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew, chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful Mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. Mother Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your, my, our mother as well, mother of creation, mother of the universe, mother of the human family, as father is father of the same. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of Mother Holy Spirit are Ruach HaKadosh. And the word Ruach, found under the number 7307 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, that word is a feminine word referring to a feminine entity, in this case, our mother, the Holy Spirit. Now, in the African Hebrew language, the word aim is the word for mother in the Hebrew language. So if you put that together with Yahweh, you get Yahweh aim for the Almighty Mother as well. Same Mother Holy Spirit, but different words and titles to describe her. In the African Arabic language, the name of Mother Holy Spirit is Illah. And that word Illah is spelled I-L-L-A-H. That word is also an African Hebrew word. And our Islamic sisters and brothers say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bis, B-I-S-M, and then Illah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Normally that's translated in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. But we know that Illah is the mother. And Rahman Rahim, Beneficent, Merciful, these two African Arabic words are rooted in the African Arabic word for womb, W-O-M-B. So properly translated with this proper understanding, that should be rendered in the name of our mother, the womb of all things, the womb of creation, the Beneficent, the Merciful. In Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Amenet, the hidden and unseen mother. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, more commonly known as Native Americans, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the great and the grandmother. So my sisters and brothers, I greet you in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the African Black Revolutionary Hebrew Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, the name and title of Jesus Christ are Yahshua, HaMashiach. And believe it or not, sisters and brothers, but Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. So, I and I say, Emperor Haile I, Selassie I, Rastafari, was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So I say, Jah Rastafari, Haile I Selassie I, as Jesus Christ, new names in these last days of judgment in Babylon. Now this is to teach all of us that Christ desires to be revealed and manifested within your, my, our personalities, thereby making all of our names the new names of Jesus Christ in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that in the last days, and these are the last days of judgment in Babylon, Armageddon is on, judgment is here, Christ is here, Christ is here, manifesting through the revolutionaries, manifesting through the protesters all over that are protesting this wicked system. That is Christ come in the personality of those sisters and brothers. And all of them and all of us who are doing this work, raising the consciousness of the people, we, our names are the new names of Jesus Christ in this time. And we are rising up to say no to this wicked system. We are rising up to overturn this wicked system, remove this wicked system, remove the synagogue of Satan, and bring in the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. All of we are divine manifestations of divinity in this divine universe, in this divine creation, on this divine planet that we call Earth, under that divine Milky Way, in this divine house that we call our physical house. The whole are we, are the I, and Haile Selassie I. The first I is your original self, united with Creator, united with Creatress, united with creation. The second I is the human family outside of yourself, united with Creator, Creatress, united with creation. So we are the I, and Haile Selassie I, Rastafari, Jesus Christ, new name in these last days of judgment in Babylon. We are yet in the book of Revelation. We are yet looking at these seven letters. We are yet showing how, even from Genesis to Revelation, it is all prophetic. From the first verse in the Quran to the last, it is all prophetic. Bhagavad Gita, it matters not the book that you use. The whole universe is prophesying to us concerning ourselves so that we may understand prophetically what is going on today. Now, we're going to continue in Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. We were talking about the church, Pergamos, the elevated church. We said that you and me, we are elevated to deal with this wicked system. The Pergamos church then was elevated to deal with Caesar and deal with the Roman Empire and deal with the wicked elite ruling class and families in Mesopotamia, Jerusalem, and so on that ruled wickedly on behalf of Caesar and Rome. And we are equipped today, sisters and brothers. Look all over the earth. Look at the protesters. We are rising up. We are elevating. We are equipped to deal with the synagogue of Satan, to deal with the Illuminati Masonic Order, to deal with the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. Revelation. Apocalyptos. Apocalypse. Revelation. We are coming to understand the reality of this wicked system. We are seeing the truth of this wicked system. The sisters and brothers protesting are saying the 1% is the problem. The 1% ruling class and families have taken all the wealth and the resources, and Wall Street is backing them up. Wall Street is the culprit. Those bankers, those Wall Street bankers and finance engineers, they are the culprit. They are the criminals. The 1% are the criminals, the killers and thieves and cutthroats, cutting the throats of the human family, implementing austerity programs that destroy the oppressed, destroy the poor, destroy the needy, destroy the afflicted, doing that wicked work. Wall Street oligarchs and corporate elite plutocrats working on behalf of the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, and the wicked 1%. Now, I want to go quickly to the Living Bible commentary on Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, and let us look at it with the revolutionary eye. Look at it through the mind of Christ, which is that spirit to deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. Look at it through the mind of Yahshua, which is to return the health, the wealth, prosperity, liberty, deliverance to the people. Yahshua also means the vengeance of the Most High on the wicked ruling class and ruling families. Now you recall in Revelation chapter 2 verse 13, it talked about the seat of Satan, and that seat emanated out of Rome and Caesar, who did the work of Satan in colonizing and enslaving and exploiting the masses of the people in North Africa, Mesopotamia, and Europe as well. And you recall that Revelation chapter 2 verse 13 gave accolades and credit to our brother Antipas, who stood up against Caesar, stood up against the Roman Empire. And because he stood up so strong, Caesar and the Roman Empire assassinated brother Antipas. because those who stood up were assassinated, who were a threat to Rome, a threat to Caesar, were assassinated by that Roman that Roman Empire, that Roman system, that wicked system coming from Caesar. Because this brother Antipas, like today Marcus Garvey, Elijah Muhammad, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Gabriel Prosser, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, Toussaint Alova, to Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Fannie Lou Hamer, Malcolm X, Dr. King, Medgar Evers, Black Panthers, these, like Antipas, all stood up and suffered because they took such a strong stance in today's against today's seat of Satan, throne of Satan, which emanates from the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers through the governments, central banks, and military that they control, including the United States of North America. So, Brother John, taking this dictation from Yahshua, is giving Antipas credit for standing up and being a faithful martyr in the fight against Caesar, against the Roman Empire. And so I want to read this commentary from the Living Bible Translation, and let's look at it with a revolutionary eye. As the center for four idolatrous cults, Pergamos is called the city where Satan's throne is. Now, we know that idolatry is covetousness, and the Roman Empire practiced idolatry in that they went all over the known world. Caesar and Rome went all over the known world and killed and colonized and destroyed the people to take possession of the land, the wealth, the resources. An idol is made up of gold, diamonds, rubies, silver, wood, stone, minerals that come out of the earth. And so Rome, Caesar, conquered and killed and destroyed portions of the human family to take the land, the wealth, the resources. And then wanted the people at Pergamos to partake in such idolatry by purchasing consumer items and goods, just like today. America, going all over the earth. Israel, all over the earth. Britain and the powers of Europe have gone all over the earth and killed by the millions to take the land, the wealth, the resources, parlay the resources from the land into consumer items and goods, and you and I go to get diamond rings and cell phones and TVs. And do we not care that we have these items because people died by the millions through warfare and bloodshed? That is idolatry. And continuing with the commentary. Surrounded by Satan worship, the church at Pergamos refused to deny Christ even when Satan's worshippers martyred one of their members. This system is a Satan system. This system destroys men, women, and children. Those Rothschilds and Oppenheimers and all of their wicked imps and demons who create warfare, bloodshed, finance all sides, destroy the human family, take the land, the wealth, and the resources, that is Satan worship. That is Satan system. That is wickedness beyond imagination. And so we, like the sisters and brothers at Pergamos, need to take hold of Christ. Christ means anointing and spirit anointed. The anointed one with the spirit to do what? Every African, Hebrew, Israelite king was anointed to do what? To defend and deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. That's what a Messiah does. That's what a Christ does. Every African, Hebrew, Israelite king was a Messiah, a Christ. So Jesus is referred to as the Christ in that he is the quintessential revolutionary who gives you and me and us the knowledge that we may go to the oppressed and deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. This is why Rome again and Caesar again assassinated Jesus, because he showed that Caesar was a liar, that Caesar was wicked and corrupt and was the facilitator of the throne of Satan. Caesar was. And so when Jesus rose up and when the disciples began to call Jesus Lord Savior, peace and love giver, deliverer, these were titles that were ascribed to Caesar. But we know that Caesar was wicked and a killer and a colonizer. And the scribes and the Pharisees had sold out to Caesar. And so here this Jesus, this Yeshua is rising up, and the people are seeing Yeshua as Lord and Savior, Son of God, Deliverer. And so Jesus, Yeshua, became a threat. And Caesar assassinated Yeshua and assassinated Antipas for holding up Yeshua Christus as the Christ, the Deliverer. And so it is left up to us today to do the same. Raise up that Christ consciousness and mentality. We are the body of Christ. We are they who have been charged with bringing the message that would deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. Let me pause and say, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. And this is thinkaboutit.org. The Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, October the 9th, 2011. So, we today must be like Antipas and stand up with the Spirit of Christ to fight the modern day Caesar, fight the modern day Rome, which is the American Empire, Israel, the powers of Europe, and Rome again. In this time as well, they, House of Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, these are the synagogue of Satan, the throne of Satan that we must fight today with the spirit of Antipas. Continuing with the commentary, perhaps the Nicolaitans taught that it was all right for Christians to participate in these idolatrous rituals on the grounds that no one believes in it anyway, and it is good citizenship. You see, it was the Nicolaitans in that day that were trying to get the Christians to go after Satan and his program. And we're going to be reading more about the Nicolaitans, I believe, in the next few verses. But the Nicolaitans in that day were they who said, it's good citizenship to do what Rome does, to participate in this wicked, nasty, idolatrous system. And is that not what they tell us today? You're American. To be a good American, you fight for America. Go over into Africa and kill Libyans. Go over into Iraq and kill Iraqis. Go over into Afghanistan and kill Afghanistan people, Afghanis. Go all over the earth. Work for the CIA and overthrow governments. Overthrow. And let me say this while it's on my mind. Boy, this Barack Obama is something. President Barack Obama went to the United Nations, and the delegation of America at the United Nations heard nations from Central and South America talk about how the CIA administered a coup in Honduras in South America. And they do not like the fact that the CIA is yet administering coups, overthrew the government of Emmanuel Zelaya and put in a fellow, I believe his last name is Lobos. I believe that's his last name. The CIA man is Lobos. And so Bolivia voiced their concern. Cuba voiced their concern. Iran voiced their concern. I believe Iran. Venezuela voiced their concern about the CIA overthrowing governments and administering coups in South America. And after the United Nations was done, I'm looking at Barack Obama on TV. I believe he was either in New York or Washington, D.C. And he's seated on television next to the CIA man in Honduras, the man that the CIA put in power after administering a coup. I believe his last name is Lobos. And so, doing what I have not seen any president do, acknowledge a coup. Obama says a coup occurred in Honduras. And this man is in Honduras now to help us with Honduras and make sure that Honduras is smooth and helping us with things that need to be helped in Central and South America and in Honduras. And I'm saying, man, does he think we're crazy? He's saying this is the cool man. He's sitting next to the man that the CIA put in power in Honduras. And he thinks that all of us are stupid and will not do the research and understand that this is the CIA man that Obama is giving credit to with quashing the situation in Honduras. But see, the message is, work for the CIA. Work for the FBI. Work for the FOP. Work for the military and do the bidding of the United States of North America and you'll be a good citizen. Well, no, we say no. We are not going to do the work of Satan and participate in this wicked idolatrous system and not rise up like you see that is occurring and say that the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed need to be delivered from such wicked satanic system. Continuing with this commentary. We, like Pergamos, must remain loyal to Christ. Once again, Pergamos is a Greek word which means elevated. So we are elevated. Those sisters and brothers protesting all over are elevated. We, the revolutionaries, are elevated. The Nation of Islam is having the 16th commemoration of the Million Man March. And we, 16 years ago, who attended the Million Man March, and we who did not attend in the physical, but attended in the spiritual, mental, and moral capacity, saw that we are elevated to stand up in righteousness and deliver ourselves and deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. Minister Louis Farrakhan will be preaching today from that elevated Pergamos mentality, preaching about how we have been called to stand up for God, stand up for righteousness, stand up for the oppressed, and deliver the oppressed. We, like Pergamos, must remain loyal to Christ against similar attempts to rationalize sin. Colonization is a sin. Slavery is a sin. Warfare, bloodshed, exploitation, those are sins that we are called to stand against. If you're a Christian, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, doesn't matter to me. Krishna, doesn't matter. If you're a believer in the Most High, these are only names that refer to the believers in the Most High in different languages. All of us are called to be Christ-minded and stand against sin. The sin of warfare, bloodshed, exploitation, thievery, raping, kidnapping. These are sins that we, as believers in the Most High, are called to stand against. Stand firm against Satan's attractive temptations. Excuse me. Standing firm against Satan's attractive temptations is never easy, but the alternative is deadly. So, Satan will bring temptations to us and try to solicit us and encourage us to go against what we know is right. But we will ever remain vigilant, and we will ever stand against this wicked system, and we will ever rise up. And you see this resurrection occurring all over the earth. You see that the sisters and brothers are catching on to the mind of Christ, the mind of God, and are remaining true to that Christ consciousness and mentality, whether they know it or not, and are saying, we don't want this wicked system anymore. Now, I believe I want to go ahead to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14, and let's lift out some things concerning chapter 2 verse 14 of Revelation. Alright, so now we heard the good part, the faithful part. So now Jesus, Yahshua Christus, the one that stands for justice and deliverance of the oppressed, is going to give us some critical analysis, some criticism where we have fallen short. Okay, so Jesus continues and says to Pergamos, But I, is this Pergamos? Let me make sure now. Yeah, it's Pergamos. I believe it's Pergamos. That's what we're still dealing with, Pergamos. Jesus says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now, sisters and brothers, let's recall the Old Testament story of Balak and Balaam and see what we can learn from this. See, Jesus is recalling the Old Testament story of Balaam, Balak, and the children of Israel, and symbolically showing that that is representative of what is going on in Pergamos, what is going on under the Roman Empire, and what is going on among the Christians. Now, you recall in the Old Testament, and we talked about it briefly before, some sessions ago, Balaam and Balak. Now, Balaam was a prophet, and Balak was a king of Moab. Now, Balaam represents, in the positive capacity, prophets and what prophets should do initially. Balak is a king. Balak represents the ruling class and ruling families, the oppressor. So in that day, the ruling class and families, the oppressor, was Rome and Caesar and the Roman elites, and the elites that were raised up in Mesopotamia, North Africa, to rule on behalf of Caesar and Rome. Now, the children of Israel represent revolutionaries. The children of Israel represent the spirit to deliver the oppressed from the oppressor. But now something happened to the children of Israel, that they became cursed by the Most High, and the Most High became angry with the children of Israel. You see, Balak took Balaam, the prophet, brought him to Israel, to just outside the gates of Israel, and wanted Balaam to curse the children of Israel. Four times Balak took Balaam to different positions around the children of Israel to curse the children of Israel, so that they would be destroyed, and that Balak would be able to come in, destroy the children of Israel, take the land, the wealth, the resources, and destroy a people that were called to fight the oppressor. Balak is an oppressor, and Balak wants to destroy those that would destroy him as an oppressor, because the children of Israel were called to fight the oppressor tooth and nail, and deliver the oppressed from the oppressor, from the wicked ruling class and ruling families. So four times, Balaam was taken to give a curse on Israel, but instead God caused Balaam to bless Israel, and this angered Balak. But apparently, if you look at this verse 14, chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, at some point Balaam taught Balak how to cast stumbling blocks before the children of Israel. Let me look up this word stumbling block, 4625. And I want to take my time with this and let Mama Holy Spirit teach me, and at the same time I can teach it to us and you and me. Stumbling block, scandalon. It looked like the word that is root, the root to scandal and scandalous. So this word in the Greek language, 4625, scandalon, scandalon. It means the movable stick or trigger of a trap, a snare, an impediment placed in the way that causes one to stumble and to fall. So the children of Israel were called to stand for revolution, stand against the oppressed, stand for the oppressed and against the oppressor, deliver the oppressed, fight and advocate on behalf of the oppressed, and fight the oppressor. And so Balak wants to destroy the children of Israel so that they no longer fight Balak and all the other oppressors. And so, after we see, which is recorded, Balaam blessing Israel, apparently behind closed doors, Balak promised Balaam money. And that's what the devil would do. The devil would bring you money, fame, fortune, that which you love and desire, to cause you to go off track from what the Most High wants you to do. So Balaam is promised money by Balak, and even though God caused Balaam to bless the children of Israel, after all of that drama that is recorded, it seems that behind the scenes, Balaam wanted that money, that he took the money from Balak and said, you know what? I can teach you how to cast a stumble, to cast a stumbling block. I can teach you how to cause the children of Israel to stumble in their mission. Because Jesus, in this verse 14, chapter 2 of Revelation, says that Balaam taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. To do what? To eat sacrificed things, things that were sacrificed unto idols. Idols and idolatry only means to participate in colonialism, slavery, exploitation. Idolatry is covetousness. Now, it is said, when the children of Israel go back and destroy Balaam, that Balaam taught the people of Balak, Moabites, to bring their women to the children of Israel and solicit the men of the nation of the African Hebrew Israelite nation into sexual sins, the women of Moab. And this shows that the devil will use male and female against female and female against male. This wicked system uses and abuses women, puts women nude in advertisements, exploits the woman. Women are oppressed and exploited and used for the mind of men, that men may pursue that which is on the mind of men. And men will use women so that their goals may be met, use them for wickedness and filth. And so we see that Balaam taught Balak how to use the women of Moab to solicit the men into sexual sins and intercourse and idolatry and covetousness. Now look, these sexual sins, let's look at this metaphorically and allegorically. Once again, Israel means revolution. The African Hebrew Israelite nation were to be revolutionaries. Moab, the Moabites, Moab and Balak, their king, they represent the oppressor. Now, the common people of Moab were to join on with Israel to fight Balak and the oppressors. So we're not talking about the common people of Moab, but Balak, the king of Moab, represents the oppressor and the ruling class and ruling family. And let me go ahead and take my first break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.